Life Audio.
Welcome to Truth Tribe with Doug Groheis, where we seek the truth about the things that matter most through reason and evidence. Today, in honor of the forthcoming Easter, I'd like to read a short essay called Easter Life and the Facts of History. If you'd like a fuller apologetic for the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and space-time actuality, please consult my book, Christian Apologetics. I have two chapters in that book on the resurrection of Jesus.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Easter commemorates and celebrates an historical event unlike any other, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But what is the significance of the resurrection? And how can we know it really happened? The four Gospels report that Jesus predicted his death, burial, and resurrection. He was a man born to die. All of his wondrous teachings, healings, exorcisms, and transforming relationships with all manner of people, from fishermen to tax collectors to prostitutes to revolutionaries, would be incomplete without his crucifixion and resurrection. Shortly before his death, quote, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life, Matthew 16:21. Peter resisted this grim fact, but Jesus rebuked him. There was no other way. See Matthew 16:22 and 23. For as Jesus had taught, he, quote, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, Matthew 20:28. And give his life he did on an unspeakably cruel Roman cross, impaled for all to see before two common criminals. We call this day Good Friday because it was good for us who believe, but it was dreadful for Jesus. Before I became a follower of Christ, I always associated this day with the Alaskan earthquake on Good Friday, 1964. This is one of the largest earthquakes ever in North America. I was there in Anchorage. After the death of Jesus, the earth quaked on the first Good Friday as well, heaving with a significance that far exceeds any geological upsurge in world history. As Jesus' disciple Matthew reports, quote, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. Matthew 27, verses 50 and 51. When the guards at the crucifixion experienced the earthquake and the other extraordinary phenomena, quote, they were terrified and exclaimed, surely he was the Son of God. Matthew 27, verse 54. Yet another miracle was waiting, as the dead Messiah was pried off his bloody cross, embalmed, and laid in a cold, dark tomb guarded to the hilt. All seemed to be lost. The one who had boldly proclaimed that he was the way, the truth, and the life, John 14, 6. The prophet who had announced that, quote, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, John 3:16. This man now had died. the man who had raised the dead, was dead. The first day of the week, two women, both named Mary, came to visit the tomb of their master. They had stayed with him as he died. Now they visited him from his, they visited his tomb in grief. And instead of mourning and death, they celebrated the resurrection announced by an angel, who rolled back the stone, sealing the tomb, and charged them to look at its empty contents. The angel then told them to tell Jesus' disciples of the resurrection and go to Galilee, where they would see him. As they scurried away, Jesus himself met them, greeted them, and received their surprised worship. Matthew 27, verses 8 and 9. He directed them, quote, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Matthew 27, 10. The rest is history, and it changed history forever. The fact that women were the first witnesses to the resurrection puts the lie to the notion that the idea of Jesus' resurrection was concocted as a later point to add drama to his life. Women were not taken to be trustworthy witnesses in courts of law at that time, although Jesus always respected them. If someone had wanted to create a pious fraud about Jesus, they never would have included two Marys in their story. Moreover, all four Gospels testify to the factual reality of the resurrection, and they were written by eyewitnesses, Matthew and John, or those who consulted eyewitnesses, Luke and Mark. They were people in the know, not writers of myths and legends. See Luke 1:1-4 and 1 Peter 1:16. After the resurrection, the gospel of the risen Christ was quickly proclaimed in the very area where he was crucified. This upstart cult would have been easily refuted by someone producing the corpse of Christ, which both the Jewish establishment and the Roman government had the best interest in doing, since this new movement threatened the religious and political status quo. But we have no historical record of any such thing having occurred. On the contrary, the Jesus movement grew and rapidly spread. Christian Jews changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday in honor of Jesus' resurrection. Pious Jews would never do such a thing on their own initiative, because it would set them against their own tradition and their countrymen. Nor would they have ceased offering the prescribed sacrifices their scriptures required, had not Jesus himself proved to be the final sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. See John 1:29 and the book of Hebrews. The resurrection best accounts, best explains this change in their day of worship, their manner of worship, and the transformation at the core of their lives. Moreover, the two key rituals of the earliest church, communion and baptism, both presuppose the historicity of the resurrection and are impossible to explain without it. The Apostle Paul, a man revolutionized by an encounter with the risen Christ, see Acts 9, taught that, quote, "If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." 1 Corinthians 15:14. Paul listed many witnesses of the risen Christ, some of whom were still living when he wrote 1 Corinthians 15:3-8. And he confidently affirmed that, quote, "Christ has indeed been raised from the dead." 1 Corinthians 15:20. He also proclaimed that Jesus, quote, "Through the Spirit of Holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead." Romans 1:4. Easter is the core of Christian faith and life. Without the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no gospel message, no future hope, and no new life in Christ. With the crucifixion and the resurrection, Christianity stands unique in all the world. No other spiritual movement is based on the resurrection of its divine founder. When Jesus announced, "I am the resurrection and the life," in John 10:25, he meant it and he demonstrated it. Let us then leave our dead ways behind and follow him today and into eternity. Sivan Dagrohai, Swift Truth Tribe. If you'd like to know more about my ministry, please go to douglasgrohai.com. And I wish all of you a blessed Easter.
Truth Tribe is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you liked what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review this podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
The content we feed our minds will eventually show up in our lives. If we feed our minds the lies and confusion of this world, our lives will begin to reflect worldliness. But if we feed our minds the truth of the gospel, our lives will start to reflect the heart and character of Jesus. I'm John Stonge, and each week I host the Dwell on These Things podcast, where we take a deep look at the Word of God and learn what it means to apply it to our lives. We don't skip difficult passages, and we don't gloss over the truth. If you're looking for a show that will put your mind in a better place and help you understand God's Word with more clarity, you can listen to the Dwell on These Things podcast at lifeaudio.com or on your favorite podcasting app.